to Yosef, and he gives brachot to the children, to his children, to the Shvatim, to Shivteka. He starts off with giving something to Yosef that the Mefarshim ask, why did he do that? Why did Yosef do such a thing that was the source of the problem in the past? And let's see the Psukim and understand what exactly we mean. It says over here that when Yaakov is speaking to Yosef, he says, Ve'omer Yisrael el Yosef, hinah anochi met, v'haya Elohim imachem, v'eshiv etchem el eretz avotechem. Ve'ani natati lecha shechem echad, על אחיך אשר לקחתי מיד האמורי בחרבי ובקשתי. What does it mean? ואני נתתי לך שכם אחד על אחיך. I gave you an extra שכם. What's שכם? So Rashi says, שכם אחד על אחיך, שכם ממש. היא תהיה לך חלק אחד יתרה על אחיך. He gave him שכם. Just like it says in the פסוק. ואת עצמות יוסף אשר עלו מבני ישראל ממצרים קברו בשכם, which means he got the city of Shechem, what we call Nablus. The city of Shechem, Yaakov gives to Yosef extra on his brothers. When every brother from the Shivteka got a certain amount of land, and Yosef also got a certain amount of land, but now he tells him that I'm giving you extra credit over here. Extra, I'm giving you more. I'm giving you Shechem Achad Alachecha, extra more than the other brothers got. And the Farshim, you take a look at the Nosei Kelim over here, they all ask the question, how is it possible? Isn't that the problem that Yaakov ran to while Yosef was a little child, 17 years old, that the brothers were very jealous because of that very thing that Yaakov did? If you take a look in the beginning of Parashat Vayeshev, it says over there, וישראל אהב את יוסף מכל בניו, כי בן זקונים הוא לא, ועשה לו כתונת פסים. Israel loved Yosef more than his other children's. Therefore, asalu ketonet pasim, he made him a special ketonet. And what happened because of that? Next pasuk, ve'iru echav ki oto ahav aviyem mikol echav ve'isneu oto ve'lachlu daberu leshalom. His brothers got very jealous because he loves him more than the rest of the brothers, and therefore they couldn't talk to him. And the result of that was that they sold Yosef. And Chazal tell us in Gemara Shabbat Amud Daf Yud Amud Bet, Le'olam al yeshane adam beno ben abanim. A person should not give one child more than the other, or do for one child more than the other. Should not be meshane, change, which means give him extra than the other brothers. Shebishvil mishkal shne slaim milat shenatan Yaakov liyosef mishar banav nitkanu boechav nitgalgel adavar v'yardu avotenu lemitzrayim. Chazal tell us that the reason Am Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim was because Yaakov over here made a crucial mistake. He gave Yosef more than he gave his brothers. Bishvil mishkal shnei slaim milat shenatan Yaakov liYosef, because of this extra robe that he gave to Yosef, yoter mishar banav nitkanu bo echav, his brothers got jealous. ונתקלקל הדבר, and because of that, they came down to Mitzrayim. Very, very scary thing. And the questions on that is, how is it that Yaakov now, in the end of his days, when he comes across this very same same scenario, makes the same mistake. He gives him now, ואני נתתי לך שכם אחד על אחיך. I'm giving you now extra. What does that mean? Yaakov, we just had a whole two parashiyot, three parashiyot with the problem that arises because of that, as Chazal themselves point out. So how is it possible that now he repeats that mistake that he made in the very beginning? And this needs to be explained. Each one of the Nosei Kelim, of the Mefarshei Hamikraot Gedolot, explains it in his own ways. We try to understand in a new way. But first, we like to ask some more questions on what's happening in our parasha. In our parasha, we found that also Yosef brings his children to get bracha from Yaakov. ויקח יוסף את שניהם, את אפרים בימינו משמאל ישראל, ואת מנשה בשמאלו ממין ישראל ויגש אליו. He puts them each one in the correct order. And something very interesting happening over here. וישלח ישראל את ימינו, Yaakov sends his right hand, Veshet al Rosh Ephraim, Vuatzair. He puts it on Ephraim's head. But he's the young one, says the Torah. And what does he do with the left hand? Etzemolo al Rosh Menashe, Sikel et Yadav ki Menashe Abichor. He took his hands and he puts them in such a way that he gives more to the younger brother Ephraim, and to the older brother Menashe, he gives him the right hand, the left hand, which means he gives in the bracha more to Ephraim than he gives to Menashe. So Yosef right away sees that there's a mistake over here in the way it was put. Vayar Yosef ki yashit aviv yad yamino al Rosh Ephraim, vayra be'enav. Yosef understood this is not the correct way. You give the more respect and more honor to the bechor, to the older brother. Vayitmoch yad aviv la'asir otam al Rosh Ephraim al Rosh Menashe. So still, his father tells him, vayomer Yosef el aviv lo ken aviv, ki zeh bechor, sim mincha al Rosho, vayimayen aviv. ויאמר ידעתי בני ידעתי גם הוא יהיה לעם וגם הוא יגדל והוא בלעם אחיו הקטון יגדל ממנו זרו יהיה מלוא הגויים. Again, the same exact thing that happened in the very beginning, that he gave one over the other, and over here it's even worse than that, because he gives again to the younger brother more than the older brother, and this was one of the mistakes, as Mefarshim explained over there in the beginning of Parashat Vayeshev, that the brothers would not have so much problem with Yosef if he would be the older brother. So therefore, maybe he deserves to get more than the others, as he's a bechor. But he was a young child. And since he was a young child, why is he getting so much from the father? And now it repeats again with the same exact story. We need to understand, how is it possible that he got the same, he's doing the same thing as the problem that started in the beginning of the whole story in Parashat Vayeshev? Chazal actually asked the question somewhere else. Chazal asked this very question when Yosef gives to Binyamin Chamesh Chalifot Semalot. He gives him 5 garments more than the other brothers. The other brothers get 1 and he gets 4 more than the others. Says the Gemara in Megillat et Zayin Amud Bet, Efshar davar shenitztaer bo oto tzadik, ikashel bo. Efshar davar shenitztaer bo. This very thing that Yosef was mitztaer bo. He had that very problem, Yosef, and he was, the whole story happened because he got more than the other brothers. So therefore, Efshar davar shenitztaer bo, now oto tzadik ikashel bo, now again, this tzadik, Yosef, would do the same problem over again, and he gives more to Binyamin, more than the other brothers, that would cause them to be jealous. How is that possible? Chazal answered this question. You would think the answer over here would be something that would completely explain his behavior. So Chazal says, Amar Rami Bar Yefet Remez Ramazlo. What's the Remez Ramazlo? He wanted to tell him that Atid, it's going to be that in the future, he's going to have a child that's going to come out with 5 different garments. And who is that? That is Mordechai. That's what he comes to tell him. He comes to tell him this Chamesh Smalot that he comes to tell him, he comes to give him, is in order him Shatid Ben Latzet Mimeno Sheetze Milifnei HaMelech V'chamisha Levushei Malchut. And this is Mordechai that it says over there, Yetze Milifnei HaMelech Belevush Malchut. And it says over there the 5 different garments that he had, Mordechai. With that, he's showing him that he's going to have such a child. But this doesn't answer the question. Still, the other brothers should be very jealous. He's getting over here more than the other brothers. And how is it possible that this very thing, davar shenitztaer bo, oto tzadik ikashel bo, how is it possible? How does it answer the fact that he gives him a hint that right now we should feel all okay with that, that he's giving one brother 5 garments and the other brother is getting only 1? Ha-chamesh chalifot smalot. That's also a question that we need to understand. One more thing that we can find over here in the parasha, and that is the way the brachot are given. The brachot are given in the end of the parasha to each and every of the brothers of the Shvatim. And if I would be Yaakov, And I would see that the story of going down to Mitzrayim happened because Chazal tell us, בשביל משקל שני סלעים, מילת שנתן יעקב יוסף יותר משאר בניו, נתקנו בו אחיו, ונתגלגל הדבר, יצאו אבותינו למצרים. I would give everybody the same exact ברכה. Exactly the same, or at least that it should be on the same weight. Everybody would get the same level beracha. But you take a look at the brachot, and each one gets something totally different. Some even get criticism, not brachot. If you take a look in the beginning, Reuven gets such criticism. Bechori ata reshitoni, atarset veteos, pachas kamayim al totar, ki alita mishkavei avicha, schilat zayisuli ala. He comes out, as Rashi explains over here, all shakur because of what he heard right now, all the musar that he gets. He comes out over there not too happy. And then the next ones after that is Shimon Velevi. Shimon Velevi also all participating to get some very nice beracha with things that they're going to receive in the future. And also they're getting Rachim, Klechamas, Besodam al Tavo Nafshi, Arura Pam Ki Az, Evratam Ki Kashata. Shimon Velevi also come out all upset, all feeling that they lost out on getting something positive. And then the next one, Yehuda. Yehuda says, Rashi over here, לפי שהוכיח את הראשונים בכינטורים. The first three brothers got כינטורים. They got rebuked. So התחיל יהודה לסוג לאחוריו. So יהודה was rethinking the whole thing. Maybe I shouldn't get ברכה. Let me go outside in order not to get also rebuked. And יהודה had to be rebuked on, and that is the מעשה of Tamar. Nevertheless, he comes inside, and Yaakov calls him, קרו יעקב בדברי ריצוי, יהודה לא אתה כמותם, you're not like them, says Rashi, you are going to get a lot of ברכות, what is it? אתה יודוך אחיך, ידיך בעורף אויביך, השתחוו לך בני אמך, גור אריה, beautiful things, beautiful things. And then each and every one of the brothers get a totally different thing. If I would be them, if I would be at least Reuven, Shimon, or Levi, I would be extra jealous over here that all the other brothers got so much, and me, not only that I didn't get, but I was rebuked, I got tochecha, I got such a harsh shmuz right now from the father Yaakov, and we want to know, how is it possible that again, he treats the brothers very differently. Each and every one gets a totally different treatment, where we found that in the whole story of Mitzrayim started, the whole story of Yosef started because of the jealousy that Yaakov gave Yosef, ketonet pasim, more than the other brothers, and that caused the whole problem. Yisrael ahav et Yosef mikol banav ki ben zgunim ulo, v'asa lo ketonet pasim, v'iru echav ki oto ahav aviyah mikol echav, v'isneu uto v'lechlu labro. And from here, it started rolling to a very, very ugly story of the brothers selling Yosef. They wanted to kill him. The many long years of Yosef in Mitzrayim having to have so much in there that brought the whole Am Yisrael into Mitzrayim to slavery. And to answer all that, I think that we can learn over here one of the very, very important yesodot of Chinuch, as I heard from a good friend, Rav Gil Kwersky, in Yeshiva, and I think this is something that each one of us can learn and could practice in order to have better Chinuch Habanim. And that is what's going on in the beginning of Vayeshev, and the story right now, where he's giving the brothers, one brother more than the other, is a totally different story. The way things work out over here, they work out also on a very different note. When we're in the beginning of Vayeshev, the very beginning of the stories with the brothers, over there, what does the Torah say? That Yisrael ahav et Yosef mikol banav. He did love his Yosef more than the other brothers. And he made, in order to express the love to him, he gave him ketonet pasim. That the brothers couldn't stand. He gave ketonet pasim to Yosef, and they see also that he loves him more. It wasn't just that he gave him a ketonet pasim. It was an expression of love. That's something that the brothers couldn't tolerate and wouldn't take it. But later on, when we have the stories of giving more to Yosef and giving more to one brother over the other, over there, it comes out to be very different from the giving of the ketonet pasim. And why is that? Because in chinuch, when we give a child more than the other, there could arise a problem in a way that the child would feel that the father or the mother loves them more, loves the brother more than them. They would feel jealous. But that's not when you give one over the other, unless it's an expression of love, which means like this. If, let's say, a brother comes home and he sees that his younger brother got today a new toy. He got a car. So he gets very jealous. Why did my brother get a car? I also want a car. Why didn't I get a car? So the mother could explain to him and say, one minute, they're very different. Your brother, we just took him to the dentist today. So we took him to the store and he picked out this toy car because he had a hard time by the dentist. Okay? So that's not an expression of love of one over the other, because the child understands that when there's a reason to give one over the other, that's not lacking the love that I should be getting. If the father and mother give equal love to each and every child, the brothers don't feel jealous if one gets for a reason something over his brothers. One time the sister comes home and she sees that her sister got a new piece of cloth. She says, where's mine? Says, no, I bought her special. Why did you buy her special? I also want them. Very jealous. The answer is, no, I bought her, you know what? I took her to made a test. I told her if she's going to get a very good mark, she's going to get a nice piece of cloth, a nice dress, and therefore that's why I got it for her. So the sister would not feel bad in that aspect. She might also want such a dress, but that's not going to cause a problem with the way she feels towards her parents, because she understands that the parents has a reason to do what they're doing. The reason for giving one over the other was either because he went to the dentist or because he got a very nice report card. I could do the same thing. I could also go to the dentist. When I go to the dentist, I'll get that also. It doesn't show that there's a lack over here of equal treatment. Obviously, in such a case, even if the child would want to, the child would also get jealous of his brother. But he doesn't get jealous of the way the father or mother feels towards the child or the brother. Rather, he feels jealous of the toy he got, of the dress she got. And therefore, such a thing doesn't cause a problem. And this is what's going on over here in the parasha. In the beginning, Yaakov, Chazal tell us, makes a mistake by giving the ketonet pasim. Why is that? Because that was an expression of love. V'Yisrael ha'ave Yosef mikol banav ki ben zekunu imulo. And that expression of love with that was asalo ketonet pasim. And the result, right away, consequently, that's what happens. They saw that he loved them. He didn't care about the ketonet pasim. Who cares about ketonet pasim? You want a ketonet pasim? Go to the tailor and pay him a few dollars and he'll make you ketonet pasim. That's not what they wanted. They saw that with that ketonet pasim, there's much more. It's a love of a father more than he loves them. That they didn't have a problem with the ketonet pasim. But now, when we come to the stories of Parashat Vayechi, each and everything over here is explained in details in order to know that it's not an expression of love more than others. We treat everybody the same way. Sometimes we need to give one over the other for different reasons. And therefore, when Yosef gets the Shechem Achad Alachecha more than the other brothers, Rashi explains us that together with that, he was telling him also a message. Why is that? So everybody would understand that there's a reason why he's giving it. It's not as an expression of love more than he would to the other brothers. If he would say, Ve'et Yosef Ahav Yoter Mikol Echav, Ve'therefore Natati Lo Shechem, that would be a problem. But over here, Rashi says, that's not the case. He loved everybody right now equally, and he showed them love equally. But when it comes to give one over the other, there was a reason for it. Rashi says, "V'ani natati lecha lefi shata toreach litasek begvurati," because you are the one that's going to be dealing with my burial, says Yaakov. So therefore, you get together with that Shechem Achad. You get the city of Shechem more than others. V'gam ani natati lecha nachala shetikaver ba. Rashi says the second thing. Also, you get a nachala. You get a place of burial in Shechem. Just like the Pasuk says in Yeshua, V'tatzmot Yosef asher elu b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim kavru b'shechem. So therefore, since over here, there's a reason to give it, that's not a problem at all, altogether. And this is how also It happens when he gives, when he puts the hands, one on Ephraim and the other one on Menashe. And Yosef was asking, why do you do that? So he told him, Yadati ibn Yadati, I know that he's the Bechor, I know that Menashe should get more. But you need to know that there's a reason why I'm doing that. It's not just I love one over the other. Gam hu yelam ve gam hu yigdal. She'atid Gidon latzet mimeno, she'akadosh baruch hu oseh nes al yado. You're right. It's also going to be something important in the future. Gidon is going to come out of Menashe, but you need to know that out of Ephraim is going to be much more. Ulam achiv hakatan nigdal mimeno, she'atid Yehoshua latzet mimeno, she'anchil et haaretz ve'ilamed Torah liYisrael. And therefore, since Zaro yehem elo agoyim, kol haolam itmale betzet shimo v'shmo, k'she'atid chama begidon, k'she'amid chama begidon ve'arach be'emek ayalon, since Yehoshua is going to come out of him and everybody is going to hear about Yehoshua, the whole world is going to hear about Yehoshua. So therefore, there's a reason why I'm giving him. When you have a leader like Yeshua coming out of you, you need much more siyata dishmaya, you need much more help, you need much more brachot. So therefore, I'm giving him over here the extra bracha. But the love I'm expressing is the same love. I love Menashe and I love Ephraim the same exact way. I treat them the same exact way. I'm not treating one better than the other, but if sometimes one needs more than the other, sometimes you have a grandfather that starts learning with a child more than the other child. The other child could feel jealous. He comes and tells him, look, he needs the extra help. Or he learns with the grandchild, he doesn't learn with the granddaughter. The granddaughter comes all jealous. He tells her, well, he's learning Gemara. How can I learn with you Gemara? I can't learn with you Gemara. But the grandfather could learn with the granddaughter something else that she could learn. But giving the extra, if it's explained to the children, it's explained, why is that? I'm giving your brother because he needs that, because that reinforcement would take him a long way, and I would give that to you also if you're in the same situation, if you're in the same case. That doesn't cause any jealousy. We found the same thing also when Yosef is addressed by his father Yaakov, and Yaakov tells him, look, I want to explain to you something. I want to be buried in Eretz Israel. And he starts talking in much length. He tells him like this, V'ani bevoim ipadan met alai Rachel. בארץ כנען, בדרך בעוד כברת ארץ, לבוא אפרטה וגברה שם, בדרך אפרט, איבט לחם. He tells him, look, I want you to bury me in Eretz Israel. Yaakov could have just said those words, and Gendik, goodbye, that's it. I'm asking you to bury me in Eretz Israel. Zay gesund, I'll see you in the next world, in Olam Haba. But Yaakov over here goes in length and length and length. First he starts off with asking him so much, וקרבו בני ישראל למות, ויקרא לבנו ליוסף, ויאמר לו, אם לא מצאתי חן בעיניך, שים נא ידך תחת ערכי, עשית עמדי חסד ואמת, אל נא תגברני במצרים. Doesn't end. ושכבתי עם אבותיי, ואומר, שווה לי, וישבלו. And it doesn't end this whole story. Again and again and again, like a whole page in the Chumash. And then he ends up with a whole story that not needed over here. It's not required. Why does he need to tell him a whole story? V'ani bevoi mipadan met al Rachel. We need to know when I came from Padan. Rachel died in Eretz Canaan. But there was kivrat Eretz. It was a very short road in order to come to Efrat. V'ekber Hashem b'derech Efrat in Bet Lachem. And I buried her in Bet Lachem. Why does he need all this length over here to explain? So Rashi even says that not only that this lengthy pasuk he was saying, but he was saying to him much, much more. What was he saying? V'ani bevoi adam, says Rashi, v'af al pishani matriach alecha lo licheni lekaver be'etz Kenan, although I'm asking you to take me all the way to Eretz Kenan, that's such a tircha, such a hard mission that I'm asking you. ולא כך עשיתי לימך, I didn't do that to your mother, שהרי מתה סמוך לבית לחם, since I buried her, she died by בית לחם, close to בית לחם, and that wasn't too far to בית לחם, so therefore, to the right, to take her to be buried in the right place, ולא תאמר, so why did I bury her there, on the road, ולא תאמר שיגבו עליי גשמים מלהוליכה, או לקוברה בחברון, don't say that maybe there was rain, so therefore I couldn't take her to Hebron to be buried. Et agarid haya, it wasn't raining then. Haaretz mechalulam, dukevet kekvaran, no problem, I could have taken her there. Velo lichtia afilu lebet lechem lachnisa laivin, I even didn't take her into Bet Lechem. I buried her on the road. Ve'adati shev shbelibcha alai, I know that you must have in your heart, I know that you have in your heart against me. I know you feel about me a bad feeling that I didn't bury her in the right place, I buried her on the road. like dumping somebody on the road like this. אבל דע לך שעל-פי הדיבור כבר תהיה שם, you should know that I did it because I got so על-פי הדיבור. השם spoke to me and he told me to do that. Why is that? שתהיה לעזרה לבניה כשיגלה אותם נבוכת נצר ועוברים דרך שם, because eventually the גולים would go through there and החל would be crying, כל ברמה נשמע, and Hashem would answer her, v'shavu banim legvulam. Why does he need all these shmuz and shmuz and shmuz and go in length and I didn't do this and I could have done this and it wasn't, don't say it was raining, it wasn't raining and I know you have in your heart. Why does he need all this? And this is again to explain that when you do something as a parent, we think that, many people think that as a parent you could just say to the child, do this, do that, and the child says, why? Because I said so. What do you mean why? I said so. Said so doesn't work. A child needs to understand why. And this is where Yaakov is understanding over here that you can't just tell yourself, look, I buried your mother Rachel. I'm asking you to bury me in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Don't ask questions on me. I'm the father. Goodbye. I'm the father. It doesn't work like that. I'm the father. Doesn't work like that. You need to explain. Part of Chinuch, and one of the main things in Chinuch, is talking to the child, explaining to the child, look, this is what I was doing. There was a reason what I was doing. Let me explain this to you. And you speak in length. And everything needs today, especially today, even back then, you see, but especially today, a child doesn't take just, I said so, do it, goodbye. A child needs to be explained. He needs to constantly be told, why is the reason I'm doing one thing over the other? So we spoke about the din of the inyan of not being jealous. When a father or mother explain and expresses why one got over the other, they can't just say, you know, I gave it to him. Don't ask questions. That's it. I decided to give it to him. Some parents do that. Doing that causes jealousy because the child feels that the other brother is loved more than him. It's not about the extra toy. It's about the feeling of love that he feels when he sees that one gets more than the other. Also, you have such a thing that when you talk to the child, you have to constantly, these are some tips that we need to understand, that besides talking to him and overly talking to him, which is a positive thing, that spending the time and talking to a child and not just ignoring him, there's a story that they say about a child that came to his father and he wanted to talk to him, and the father never has time. He comes to him and he tries to talk to him. He sees him on the phone. He tries to talk to him. He sees him dealing in on the computer with some kind of business deal. He wants to talk to him in the evening. In the morning, he's always busy. The father is always busy. So the child comes and asks him, why are you so busy all the time? So he tells him, what do you mean? I have to make money. I'm working. I make money. This is what I do. So the child asks him, well, Tati, how much do you make? So the father tells him, look, I make normally $50 an hour. That's what I make on average, $50 an hour. So the child comes the next day and he brings up his piggy bank and he takes out all the money that he saved over there, and he comes to the father and he takes out an amount of about $25, and he tells his father, look, I have over here $25. Can I buy half an hour from your time? This comes to tell us how much a child needs this time of attention from his father, his mother. Actually, by the mother, Chazal tell us that the mother is being respected more than the father. Why is that? Chazal say, because the mother is always constantly meratzah et banea. How's the lashon of Chazal is in Kiddushin Lamed Aleph, galui ve'adua lifnei mi she'amar ve'aya olam, she'ben mechabed et imo yoter me'aviv. A child respects his mother more than his father. Why? Mipnei she'meshedalto bedvarim. Lefichach ikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibud av lekibud em. She's She constantly talks to him, talk to him. The child doesn't do something so right. The father comes into the room, he screams at him one time, and everything goes into order. But the mother doesn't do that. She comes, she talks, she explains, she this. The child keeps on nagging, keeps on doing. He doesn't solve the problem, and again and again and again. You need to know that this aspect of chinuch is very, very important. I'm not saying that the father role, that he screams sometimes, is not needed. It's also needed sometimes. But this constant meshadalto bedvarim is also very, very important for the child. And this is what we're trying to explain. The father should also do such a thing of meshadalto bedvarim, should talk and talk and talk. And that is something that a child would need very much. The extra talking, extra explaining, as we see in our parasha, and not to scream at a child. When you scream at a child, although you get immediate results, but when you get immediate results, that result don't last. It doesn't last, and therefore, it doesn't get any actual... You don't get anything out of that. It doesn't last. And therefore, also, one needs to do that together. When a parent speaks to his child, he needs to make sure that whatever he wants from the child, whatever he asks from the child, he should ask it with love and with warmth and with nice language that the child would learn from that and would want to do that and receive what he was told. Those things that we're saying right now, we can see over here in our parasha, the way Yaakov is talking to Yosef, the way Yaakov is talking to Ephraim and Menashe, the way Yaakov is talking to the other brothers. He's over here wrapping everything with a lot of talking and explaining, because now it's already fixing the problem of the beginning of Parashat Vayeshev, that over there he loved more Yosef, and therefore he expressed that by giving him Keton Pasim. Over here he doesn't do that. Over here, and whenever he has to give one over the other, it's given with a lot of explanation, and given also this explanation, you can see when he's talking and talking, like for instance in the case of Yosef, you can see how much love he puts into it, how much warmth, how much respect towards Yosef. He tells him, Yadati shesh belibcha alai. Who talks like this? If not a loving father, when you come to somebody who's just a ruler, he just wants to things done the way he wants, he says, do it, goodbye. What's the difference? Yes, no, I said so, you have to do what I say. The father doesn't talk like that. The mother doesn't talk like that. Yosef is not talked like that by Yaakov. Therefore, we should learn from that also. And Be'ezrat Hashem, get a better Chinuch HaBanim than we are already having right now. Thank you for listening for Divrei Torah. After the following song, we'll take your calls. You can call us, you can text us over here to the studio. Don't be afraid to call. You don't need Dafka to express, to text us. Anybody's welcome to call with questions in Halacha. Stifarteinu, lo irochim b'chastecho, alam b'cho tzureinu, alam b'cho, alam b'cho tzureinu, al tziyoin mishkan, kivo idecho, zbul bey stifarteinu. Ben dovid av b'cho, yovoi, Yavoi, veyigoleinu. Oi, 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 ben David adecho. Yavoi, yavoi, oi, oi, yavoi. Ben David adecho. Yavoi, veyigoleinu. Oi, rachim bechasdecho, alam bechotzureinu. Oy 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 alam gozreinu atzi oy mishkan ke yevoyd khos vol beis tifateinu noy rakhim khastekho alam gozreinu oy 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 alam gozreinu atzi oy mishkan ke voyd khos vol beis tifateinu. Here in the studio, we have a few calls to take. Let's take the first call. Chavod. Hello.
Hello.
Shalom aleichem. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to know earmuffs. if you connect it to like NBC, you can listen to it with the earmuffs. Are you allowed to wear a Shabbos?
You mean you have on the earmuff some kind of a speaker?
Yeah.
Okay. So the din of mukta is always when you're talking about basis ledavar asur, we have to have that such a thing or a mukta in any way. We have to have that the thing itself is the most important thing in there. And therefore, when you have such a thing like an earmuff, first of all, one is allowed to wear earmuffs on Shabbat. It's not exactly like the gloves that the Shulchan Aruch says that it's better to be machmir. The Shulchan Aruch says about gloves altogether that it doesn't say that it's asur, but it's better to be machmir. Your shamayim should be machmir and such a thing. But when we're talking about earmuffs, that the poskim already allow, because that a person doesn't take out like he does to the gloves. But even then, when we're talking about such an earmuff, if it has such a thing, since it's not the most important thing there, so it's allowed to be worn. And obviously, you have to dismantle whatever thing you have over there before Shabbat, that it's not going to start turning on Shabbat. But as long as it is dismantled, since the most important thing over there is not the speaker, rather the earmuffs themselves, so such a thing would be mutar and allowed to be used. Let's take the next caller, B'chavad.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah. If I have something muksa on the table, like by my father's place, am I allowed to move it?
If you have what?
Something muksa.
You have a muksa on the table?
The table. The Shabbos table.
Can you move it? Okay. So it depends what exactly you have. The din of mukta is the following. You have different kinds of mukta. One mukta, for instance, is what we call klishe melachto l'isur. Klishe melachto l'isur is something that normally you would use for something that you can't use on Shabbat. For instance, you have a hammer. A hammer you don't use on Shabbat. So therefore, such a thing you're allowed to move lezoch gufo umekomo. In order to use it, let's say you want to use the hammer in order to break some kind of, you have a nut that you need to break with a hammer, so you're allowed to use it to break it with the hammer. How about to move it in order to use the place? You're allowed to move it in order to be able to use the place that's on the table. This is when you have a mukte in a category of kli, shemelachto lisu. If you have kli, if you have mukte mechamat gufo, you have something that's mukte, but it doesn't have a din of klisha melachto l'isur. For instance, you have a stone. It's mukta mechamat gufo. Such a thing, you'll be allowed, you're not allowed to move it with your hands. So the only way you'll be allowed to move such a thing is if you push it with your elbow or any other parts of the body that normally you don't use to move. So that you could do when you have such a mukta. Sometimes you have something that's left from the Shabbat table, and for instance, you have you peeled something, and you have the pills over there, or you have the bones, and you left it on the table. That you'll be allowed to move in order to have the table clean, since the thing itself is disgusting to you. Whenever you have something disgusting, although it's mukta, you'll be allowed to move it. So you have over here a few categories. Sometimes, like in klishe melachto l'isur, you'll be allowed to move lezoch mekomo in order to have the table. Sometimes you'll have something that, as we explain right now, is graf shel ra'i, it's disgusting, and therefore you'll be allowed to take it. And sometimes you'll be having such a thing, like we explained before, that is a real mukse that you can't move it with your hands. You'll have to use other parts of the body in order to move in moving it in other parts of the body. That would be allowed. Now, if you have a nylon on the table, or you have a tablecloth, so you can move the whole thing together with that tablecloth, and that is fine as long as you're not moving it directly. Let's take the next caller, B'chavad. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. I want to ask if I have a table and there's a candles on it. I have to get a table out of the way. I'm allowed to move it?
Again, slowly. I can't hear so well today. with this. It's too loud. You have what on the table?
I have candles.
Candles.
Can on the table.
Okay. Can you move the candles? That is a... Yeah. Okay, got you. You have candles, and the candles are on the table, and the candles burnt out already. Can you move the candles in order to use the place, candles. The table? Huh? The candle, you have the candlesticks right now. You have the candlesticks, and such a thing, can you move it? You have in Shulchan Aruch that he says that if one makes a condition on such a thing, you'll be allowed to use the... Normally, if you didn't make a condition, the Shulchan Aruch says you can't move a candle. But if you do make a condition on the candles before Shabbat, and you say that once it extinguishes, you want to move the candlesticks, the Shulchan Aruch in Resha in Tet says that making a condition would allow you to move the candlesticks. And this is how also Chacham Ovadia is posek halacha lemaaseh. Ashkenazim go like the Rama. The Rama says that a condition would not allow you to move the candle. So what's the solution to such a thing? Normally, what people do is they put a tray, and on the tray they put something before Shabbat that would be that tray would be a basis to the candles. But since you can put something over there that you need for Shabbat, like the challah, that is, you have an important challah that is more important than the candlesticks, so that would allow you on Shabbat to move out that those candles together with the tray that's under them, a special tray. Some say that tray would not help because the tray is special for the candles, not for the challah. So it's a trick to put the challah on the tray. So it needs to be such a tray that's also something that you could be used for both things that you're going to put it. If you have such a thing, you put it, then it's fine. It's absolutely fine moving it in order to use the place of the table. Let's take the next caller, Bechavad.
Hello, Rabbi.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I want to know, am I allowed to put, if my hands are chapped or my lips, am I allowed to put oil on it on Shabbos?
Okay, so when you have chapped hands, let's talk first when you don't have chapped hands. When you have hands that are fine, they're a little bit dry, but they're fine, they don't have any problems. So then you're allowed to put oil, but you're not allowed to put a cream. Putting a cream is asur, because cream is a little bit more thick. So it's memachek, and putting such a cream. But when you're putting oil, since it's soft, it's liquidy, you're allowed to put oil. But when you have the hands chopped already, so that's considered like refuah. If you take a look in Shin Kaf Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch says that you can't use such refuah, and therefore you should not put the unless the hands are so chopped that you are so much in pain that you are very uncomfortable and you have to either lie down because of that, or, as Rav Nisim Karelitz explains, that you're not going to be able to go through your day normally. Therefore, for such a thing, you'll be allowed to put the oil. Otherwise, one should not put the oil. And by the way, when you have such hands that are chopped so much to the point that you feel that it's so much disturbing you and so much in pain, there are also those that will allow you to put even the cream. Because if you're considered already like a choleshe en bo sakana, as we explained before, you don't have a problem of refuah. And secondly, there is a Magen Avraham that explains that any cream that gets absorbed in the hands, that's your kavana, this is your intention, that it should get absorbed in the hands, such a thing would be mutar. He learns that from the Gemara, that says that if you have rock spit on the floor, so you should rub it out with your feet, so it gets into the ground. So the Magen Avraham wants to know, but what happened to the Isur of Memachek over here when you're doing that? So he says it's not a sur when you want it to get absorbed in the ground, and therefore, from here the Magen Avraham learns that that such a thing would be mutar like a cream, because you don't want it to stay on top of your hand, you want it to get absorbed into your hand. Who brings this Magen Avraham l'alacha? The Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, and Chacham Ovadia brings this down. So there are tzadim to be mekel in that. Normally, Chazon Ish says, we're not mekel in that, unless you're very much in a need for such a thing. Let's take the next caller, Bechavod. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi?
Are you allowed to play Rummy Kavan Shabbos? Because you have to make the
numbers in order.
Yeah, okay. So we're not going to repeat the din of of playing with toys that we spoke already last week and many, many times before. The only question over here is a question of borel, and when you are playing and putting things in order, that's not a problem at all. Unless you want to say there's a din of kotev, there's no din of kotev according to Rav Moshe. He explains there's no din of kotev because it's not sitting there in any way. It's not getting attached to something in any way. It's not like magnets. That would be a question because it's getting hold, it's getting held by the magnet. But when you're just putting one near the other, there's no din kotev, even if you're forming words. Afterwards, you now just need to be a little bit careful not to be borel, if you could be borel in any way. But playing in such a thing would be okay without getting into the questions if that we spoke about last week about toys or the mukze and not, and if one needs to play on Shabbat, could play on Shabbat or not. Thank you. Next caller, Bechavot. Hello? Hello?
Are you allowed to move a tefillin bag on Shabbat?
Move what?
A tefillin bag.
Tefillin bag. Okay, so tefillin bag, the Mishnah Berurah brings down in the beginning of Hilchot Mukteh, he brings down that tefillin bag would be called, or tefillin, let's talk about tefillin, tefillin bag with a tefillin inside, would be called Mukteh Mechamat Mitzvah. And therefore, he brings this from the Baruch She'amar. In the beginning of Shin Chet, the Rama brings down that one is not allowed to move the tefillin unless it's really for a need. And this is our opinion that Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Baruch She'amar. Baruch She'amar is one of the very important Rishonim that's on Safrut. When he's talking about Safrut, the Bet Yosef brings him down in Tzurat Otiyot, in Lamed Vav. He brings all the Tzurat Otiyot from the Baruch She'amar. So he says that you're not allowed to move the tefillin on Shabbat. Now the bag itself, if the tefillin itself is considered mitzvah, is considered mukteh. By the way, it's machloket, what kind of mukteh it is. The Taz and Magen Avraham call it klisha melachto l'isur because you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbat. And according to that, if you have such a thing, you're allowed to move it letzorech gufo umekomo. Since it's klisha melachto l'isur, one is allowed to move it letzorech gufo umekomo. You need the place of that tefillin. You're allowed to move it in order to use the place itself. How about the bag? The bag itself would be, if let's say the tefillin came out of the bag somehow, so the bag itself would be like a basis. And therefore, it's very interesting. The Yalkut Yosef says that one should not remove the tefillin, the talit from the bag of the tefillin on Shabbat. Let's say you have tefillin and you have inside the tefillin bag the koracha you have over there, the tefillin and the talit. Says says the Yalkut Yosef, if you move the talit, you're leaving only the tefillin inside, and you mevatel this kli mehechano. That's what he says. Very interesting. But lemaise, if you want to know, can you remove the tefillin? Can you move the tefillin bag if it has tefillin inside? If it has tefillin and the talit, we're saying over here that on Shabbat you'll need the talit more than the tefillin, so therefore it's not basis. But if it's not as important to you on Shabbat, or if it only has a tefillin, so we said over here from the Rama and Shin Chet that tefillin you're not allowed to move, and we said from the Magen Avraham and the Taz that it's klisha melachto l'isur, and therefore you shouldn't move this tefillin bag unless it's letzorech gufo mekomo. Let's take the next caller, B'chavad. We have over here some text on the once the chulent pot. Is removed from the crock pot, can it be placed back? Okay, so this is a question that involved many, many things. First of all, the chulent pot has, the chulent in the pot must be in order to bring it back with the following conditions that we're going to say, in order to bring it back, it has to be fully cooked. Otherwise, you're dealing with a problem of bishul. So let's say you have such a chulent that is completely cooked, and now you want to put it back into the pot, into the crock pot. In order to do that, you have to have the dinim of chazara. In order to do that, in order to put back the chulen pot in the crock pot, you have to have the dinim of chazara. What are the dinim of chazara? First of all, you have to have the place covered in order to be garuf vekatum. In order to be garuf vekatum. So you have a crock pot. How do you cover it? You put an aluminum foil. Shomim oti? Aluminum foil. You put an aluminum foil on the bottom, and that makes it garuf vekatum. Secondly, when you do that, you have to have the following dinim of chazara, according to the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. You have to have the thing itself still yad soledet. Yad soledet, you'll be able to put it back. Together with that, you need also to make sure you didn't place it on the floor. Some say that the floor is lav dafka. Also putting it on the counter, that would be a problem. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, you have the following conditions. It needs to be gufavek tuma, covered, which means a crock pot, you put over it aluminum foil to make sure that it's covered. Secondly, we said that the first condition was obviously that it should be fully cooked. This was the second condition, it's that it's covered, the crock pot. Thirdly, it needs to be still yad soledet. And fourth, that you didn't put it on the floor. On the floor, we explained that many poskim say that on the floor is lav dafka. It's also putting it on the counter. The Rama says over here two other conditions. The condition of it needs to be still in your hand. And also you have to have in mind in order to put it back. By the way, the Rama would be more lenient on the din of Yad Soledet. He says that Yad Soledet is not necessary as long as it's still lukewarm. One is allowed to return it. So you have all these conditions, and also the Rama would add to it that it still needs to be in your hand, and it still need, and you have to have in mind to put it back. All this you can find in Siman Resh Nun Gimel. So let's summarize this. A person could bring back the chulen pot and put it into the crock pot. Obviously, we're talking about such a crock pot that doesn't have a problem of hatmana, because today crock pots, according to many poskim, would have a problem of atmana, although the atzadim to be mekel in those crock pots that enter inside, but one should be machmir with the crock pots that the pot goes inside and it's nitman, it's hidden inside, and therefore, if you don't have that problem, you make sure that the chulent is fully cooked. You make sure that the place is covered with aluminum foil, and you make sure that, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's yad soledet. According to the Rama, it's at least lukewarm. You still didn't put it on the floor. According to the Rama, you're still holding it in your hands. One hand is sufficient, and you had in mind that you can return it, that you should return it. Let's take the call of Chavot.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
I want to know in what case you're allowed to copy music from somebody else.
Copy music for somebody else is a question that that started at the time of the Chatam Sofer and the Shoel Meshiv, that were back then people started with the printing process started, so people started printing books, and if one printed and worked on a certain book, a sefer, so then they didn't allow others to copy that sefer and reprint it and sell it with his own new edition. And the reason for that, they explained, there's no source for it. They didn't find a source to it in the Gemara. They said it's a special takana in order to encourage learning, in order to encourage people printing sfarim and working on sfarim. Therefore, a person that would work hard in order to print a sefer and to establish a sefer and organize a sefer, and another person would come and just do the same exact thing and take his work and print it, and the one that put the work into it lost time and energy, and then he doesn't get the reward for it. So that they didn't want, and therefore they made a takana that such a thing should not happen. This was originally about Sfarim. In our generation, when new things came up, like the music, so the Achronim extended and they said that one should be careful also not to print or to copy that work as well. So anything that you have a copyright, they didn't allow copying such a thing with some exceptions. Like, for instance, Shevet Alevi says if you just print a page from a sefer, that is fine. It doesn't take away from the whole sefer. Just if a person, let's say a rebbe, needs to, he has a sefer and he wants to give each one in a class from his student one of the page that they should follow along with him, so Shevet Alevi allowed such a thing. The Tshuvot V'Hanagot of Shambuch has a kula. If it's a company that already made their money and it's a large company and they're not going to be hurt by copying one thing, others didn't agree with him. There's a whole sefer called Mishnat Yotzrim, Zchuyot Yotzrim. If you want to take a look over there, you'll see all the opinions. Lemaise, a person should try to stay away from copying something that has a copyright, and the other person is very much makpid on such a thing. Let's take the next caller, B'chavad. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
If, let's say, one of the little kids color on the table, are you allowed to erase it on Shabbos? Because it's going to be harder to erase it after Shabbos.
It's very hard to allow such a thing. Once something is written on the table, then such a thing has already... It's not even a temporary writing or coloring. It's something that... That sticks there with the way you're saying, it has a problem afterwards erasing such a thing, and one should not touch it. Although afterwards you'll have a certain loss because of that, you'll have a colored table. But even for a loss, we don't allow to violate a issue like this. Although it's only probably issue de Rabbanan, removing such a thing. Such a thing would still be not allowed and should be avoided. Let's take the next caller, B'chavad. Hello? 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 Okay. Next question over here. Next question is a child obligated to say Kriyat Shema? Okay. That's Beferush Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look in Siman Ayin about children. You have two kinds of children over there that the Shulchan Aruch is dealing with. What about before the age of Chinuch and after the age of Chinuch? The Rabbeinu Tam says that one should be machmir from age of Chinuch, that a child should read Kriyat Shema and be mechanechim to read Kriyat Shema. Gil of Chinuch is when a child could actually say Kriyat Shema. And Rashi says that even in the age of Chinuch, a child is not obligated to say Kriyat Shema, and the reason for that, the Shulchan Aruch says for Rashi, is since the child is not around his father all the time, the father is not there to be together with the child at any given moment in the day that he should say Kriyat Shema, so therefore Chachamim didn't obligate such a thing, and the halacha is that one should try to be machmir, like Rabbeinu Tam, that if you have a child and he didn't, he's already in the age of Chinuch, one should try to teach him to say Kriyat Shema. Okay, let's take the next caller. Oh, we don't have any more time, so we'll finish over here the show of Lecha Doti on Erev Shabbat Kodesh. Have Shabbat Shalom. My name is Rabbi Shai Tahan. Kol Tov.